Zaman Sinkatenu, it's a season of joy. I love this season, but when we get closer to Simchat Torah, for those of us that lift this Torah, it starts to get a little hard. Because everything goes over on one side, and then when we roll it back, it goes all on the other side. So you got the full weight of the Torah either on the one side, the right, or the left. So it gets a little difficult at this time of year. Heavenly Father, Lord and King, we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. I thank you, Lord, that you allow me the privilege of being able to deliver your word to the congregation. I thank you for blessing all of us. I thank you for the blessings of this season. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, amen. From Exodus 33:18, I beg you to show me your glory. As I stated previously in a message called Shabbat Nakamu, God reveals more of his plan and his timing according to when he feels we are ready and we're able to understand the information. And in this revelation of his plan, he also shows us his glory. And again, I call out to Adonai, show us your glory, reveal more of you and your plan to us on this Sukkot. Sukkot is a very... it's got a lot in it. And if you don't necessarily read all of Scripture, you miss a lot of connections and a lot of wonderful things involved. Adonai reveals certain aspects of his plan within his word, and more specifically through his prophets. And as I said in the other message, I believe that is one of the reasons why he spoke to Rabbi Mark about changing the way we do the reading cycle. Because up until then, we followed the regular Jewish yearly cycle. And we didn't read as much of the prophets or the Brit Chadashah as we do now. And let's face it, for most of us, if we wouldn't have switched up the way we read the Torah, most of us wouldn't be reading most of the prophets or most of the Brit Chadashah. Most of us, some of us, try to avoid that because the prophets get a little bit deep. But we're at that point right now where we're able and more ready for this new revelation. The rabbis have shown that the Jewish literature reveals Yeshua almost as much as the Brit Chadashah does. But unfortunately, some of our Jewish, as well as our Christian brothers and sisters, don't see these things and they deny Yeshua. The title of this message for today, since it's Sukkot, is Looking at Sukkot in a New Light. Prepare you the way of the Lord. That's from Isaiah 43. Can everyone say right now in a loud voice, God is awesome?
God is awesome!
That's great. I pray for all of our Jewish brothers and the Christian brothers and sisters who miss out on seeing Yeshua throughout the scriptures because of a preconceived idea or a bias. It's real. You're raised in a certain denomination, and Judaism has denominations just like Christianity, just not as many. Your parents went to this church, it was this denomination, this is where you're raised, and this is where you're going to believe. I know a lot of people that don't even read Scripture, so they don't even search to find out what the truth is. I pray that if it be the Lord's will, that he remove the blinders from them and to see, so they can see Yeshua, the Word made flesh, in his word. There's plenty of evidence about him and his coming within the Scriptures and also within Jewish literature. But unfortunately, most have missed it. because they're not looking for the truth. They're looking to show what they believe. So as a little reminder about what I spoke about on Shabbat Nachamu. Shabbat Nachamu is based on Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 26, which is the Haftorah for that parasha on Shabbat Nachamu. Verse 1 begins with, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, which is saying, comfort, O comfort my people. The Hebrew word Nachamu, which means comfort or comforting, is on the Shabbat following the fast of Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. And on the ninth of Av, according to the Jewish tradition, there's various tragedies that befell the Jewish people on this day. Both the first and second temple were destroyed on the ninth of Av. Jewish people were exiled from Spain on the ninth of Av. And I'm not positive. I could be wrong, but Rabbi Mark could correct me, but I think Kristallnacht occurred on the ninth of Av. That's when the Nazis destroyed a lot of the Jewish businesses, took books out in the center and burned them, including Torah scrolls, if you can believe that. According to the art scroll, Kumash commentary on the five books of Moses, on the next seven Shabbats, the Haftorah that are read are called Shiva de Nachamata, the seven consolations. These Haftorah contain prophecy that offered the Jewish people comfort and hope as well as redemption after the destruction of the first temple. And as a reminder, a repeater of Rabbi Mark has always taught on how the spring festivals, Pesach, Kakamotzi, First Fruits, and Shavuot, represent Yeshua's first coming, and then the fall festivals, Yom Teruah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, represent Yeshua's second coming. Isaiah is speaking on the comfort of the Jewish people for their suffering. And yes, they suffered because of their own disobedience, but God tells Isaiah, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. He still wants him to comfort his people as they go through what they're going through. But as it is more than just comfort, it is also redemption. And we see in Isaiah 49, verse 26b, and all the flesh will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And there's only one person he could be speaking of, that's Yeshua. So just like the counting of the Omer counts down to the receiving of Torah and the receiving of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, after the regular weekly Shabbat during the Kagomotzi, I believe that just like this counting of the Omer, when Yeshua comes, it will be seven Shabbats after the Shabbat Nachamu, which is just after the ninth of Av. I cannot say this as a fact, but it only makes sense that he will do things during his appointed times, his Moedim. And here at Beth El Gabor, we love our Moedim. We love these holidays, the spring and the fall. Nonstop praise and worship. But because his appointed times are full of significance and there are deeper truths within them, that's even more important. But it's sad when you think about it in general, how both the Christians and the Jewish people in the world miss all the wonderful significance and deeper truths to the Lord's appointed times. It's Jewish holy days. It's a Jewish holiday. It's more than just a Jewish holiday. And if you look at Leviticus 23 in the beginning, it says, Adonai says, these are my appointed times. These are not just the Jewish people's appointed times. These are Adonai's that he gave to them. It is not just for the Jews. It's for the Gentiles. And to say otherwise is garbage. It's for all who call on the Yeshua, the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. It's not just about the historical aspect, the commandment aspect, or even the agriculture aspect. The Lord's Moedim are all interconnected with each other, just as all the scriptures are interconnected and interpret themselves. And when you see these connections, it's so amazing. Even as we were sitting in, during the service, he was showing me connections. They show us his plan for Tikkun Olam, which is the repair of the world. They give us an outline of the events that will take place with Yeshua's first coming, his second coming, and the Olam Haba, the world to come. The Olam Haba is an eternal, is our eternal salvation, our eternal dwelling as a spiritual family with our heavenly Father. And the main significance to these appointed times is that they all point to Yeshua. So we just completed the countdown with the seven haftarot to Yom Teruah, which will be the day Yeshua returns. He went through the 10 days of awe preparing for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which will be the Day of Judgment after Yeshua returns. And here we now are now at Sukkot, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, the ingathering. Is it of historical significance to remember the 40 years of the desert trip? As Rabbi Eduardo was recounting out there, that it's important to commemorate it and remember how the Lord took care of the Jewish people the whole time they were in the wilderness. It's important to remember these things, but there's so much more than just that. There's the plains, meaning where it's talking about, the scriptures are talking about things that the Jewish people went through, that Israel went through. But there's other meanings to it when it's talking about all believers. They took the long way to get into a promised land. They took the long way home because of disobedience. But Sukkot refers to the living in temporary dwellings for 7 days in memory of the nation of Israel's wandering through the desert, to commemorate that they lived in temporary shelters as they traveled. But it's much, much more than that. It's more than just the camping trip. Leviticus 23, verses 34 to 35, Adonai tells Moshe, tell the people of Israel, on the 15th day of this 7th month is the feast of Sukkot for 7 days to Adonai. On the first day there is to be a holy convocation. Do not do any ordinary work. Today is the 15th of the 7th month, which is Tishrei. This is the first day of a week-long festival. On the 1st and the 7th day, we're supposed to do no ordinary work. We're to have a mikra kodesh, a holy convocation, which actually is a holy assembly, meaning the congregation assembles together. It is not an individual sport. You can't have an assembly with only one person. That's why it's supposed to be with the congregation, worshiping the Lord, praising him, thanking him, and enjoying what he has for us. Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, it says, 3 times a year, all your men are to appear in the presence of Adonai, your God, in the place where he will choose, at the festival of Matzah, at the festival of Shavuot, and at the festival of Sukkot. Sukkot is one of the Shalosh Regalim, the 3 pilgrimage festivals, along with Pesach and Shavuot. These are pilgrimage festivals where they're supposed to make a pilgrimage to the temple. The pilgrimage, as you must travel to Jerusalem and celebrate and bring sacrifices to the temple, such as Joseph and Miriam traveling to Jerusalem during the time of Yeshua's birth. It's interesting. Can we all say, now that's a connection? I don't often do this, but I thought I'd change it up a little bit. I'm being too predictable sometimes. And the significance of the Lord's appointed times is how they point to Yeshua. Sukkot also has an agricultural significance in that it is a harvest festival, which is referred to as Chag HaAsif, the festival of ingathering. There's that word again, ingathering. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 and 15, you are to keep the festival of Sukkot for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and wine press. Rejoice, 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 rejoice at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female slaves, the Levi'im, and the foreigners, orphans, and widows living among you. 7 days you are to keep the festival for Adonai your God in the place of Adonai your God will choose, because Adonai your God will bless you in all your crops and in all your work, so you are to be full of joy. Siman Simchatenu, season of our joy. This scripture tells us that we're commanded to keep Sukkot. We're supposed to keep it. That is, this is a festival that is kept after the produce of the threshing floor and the wine press is gathered. It's agricultural. We are supposed to rejoice for these 7 days. That word rejoice comes a lot in Sukkot. And there's a big reason for rejoicing. Exodus 23, verses 16 and 17. Next, the festival of harvest, the first fruits of your effort sowing in the field. And last, the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the fields the results of your efforts. 3 times a year, all your men are to appear before the Lord Adonai. Here again, these scriptures are telling us that Sukkot is one of the Shalosh Ragalim, the three pilgrimage festivals. It's a pilgrimage festival, and we're to gather together in the presence of the Lord. Gathering together in one place before the Lord, in a place that the Lord will choose, which is Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. It is a celebration of the Lord dwelling with his people, in gathering, indwelling. Emmanuel, the Lord is with us. Matthew 1:23 says, the Lord, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. The name means God is with us. And that is quoting Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, Adonai himself will give you people a sign. The young woman will become pregnant, bear a son, and name him Emmanuel. God is with us. God is with us in gathering, in dwelling. This is amazing stuff. If you can make these connections. And yes, Sukkot is a fall feast, which outlines his second coming. We can get an outline of when and how Yeshua will come, but the day and time, only the Father can tell. We start with Shabbat Nachumu, which is just after the ninth of Av, and count 7 Shabbats after the Shabbat Nachumu, which brings us to Yom Teruah, the day of blowing. And in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it states, it will take but a moment, the blink of an eye, at the final shofar, for the shofar will sound and the dead will be raised to live forever, and we too will be changed. And also in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from the heaven with a rousing cry, with a call from one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. Yeshua returns on Yom Teruah. This is followed by the 10 days of awe, a time where we're supposed to have introspection to get ourselves ready for Yom Kippur, which is the day of judgment. We're preparing ourselves for the Lord, for the day he's going to judge us. It's the day that Yeshua determines eternal salvation or eternal damnation. It's heavy stuff. And after that comes Sukkot. Sukkot, as I said, is also called Chag HaAsif, the festival ingathering. This is very interesting, light of Mark 13, verses 26 to 27, which says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest of end of heaven. The ingathering, he brings his chosen people to him on Sukkot. Son of man, Yeshua comes in the clouds and the angels will gather together his chosen people. This is the ingathering and is not supposed to be confused with the gathering which was in the movie Highlander. That's supposed to be a joke if you didn't notice. Although some people don't probably never seen that movie. That's from before I was a believer. This was also prophesied in Zechariah 14, verses 16 and 19. Finally, everyone remaining from all the nations that come to attack Yerushalayim will go up every year to worship the king, Adonai Sivaot, and to keep the festival of Sukkot. If any of the families of the earth does not go up to Yerushalayim to worship the king, Adonai Sivaot, no rain will fall on them. If the family of Egypt doesn't go up, if they refuse to come, they will have no annual overflow from the Nile. Moreover, there will be the plague which Adonai will strike the nations that don't go up to keep the festival of Sukkot. This will be Egypt's punishment and the punishment of all the nations that don't go up to keep the festival of Sukkot. It's interesting. I just thought about that. Those who don't worship Adonai don't have eternal salvation. When there's a new heaven, new earth, they're not going to be there. All the nations are supposed to go up every year to worship Adonai on Sukkot. And if they don't, there will be a plague which Adonai will strike on the nations that don't go up to keep the festival Sukkot. That doesn't really sound good to me. In the appointed times of our Lord, we have an outline of Yeshua's second coming and is also the Olam Haba, the world to come. So from a messianic point of view, we have a representation of the Olam Haba, the world to come, as an ingathering during Yeshua's millennial kingdom. Sukkot represents the gathering of the believers to live with Yeshua for eternity. Micah 4, verses 1 and 2 states, "But in the Acharit Hayamim, which is the end of days, it will come about that the mountain of Adonai's house will be established as the most important mountain. It will be regarded more highly than the other hills, and peoples will stream there. Many Gentiles will go and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of Adonai, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us about his ways, and he will walk in his paths. For out of Zion will go forth Torah, the word of Adonai from Jerusalem.'" And then after Sukkot is Hanukkah. Now this message is not about Hanukkah, but Hanukkah and Sukkot are connected and they go together. It has a lot to do with Sukkot. Hanukkah is also known as the festival lights or the season of lights. And yes, when people think of Hanukkah, they think of the lighting of the Hanukkiah for 8 days, spinning of the dreidel, giving gifts, getting gelt, eating latkes, and the celebration of the miracle of the oil for the menorah. Also here, it's a yearly event where Rabbi Mark picks out a whole bunch of Hanukkah videos, and we sit after we light the candles and watch them. But in actuality, this thing about the light burning for 8 days is just a Talmudic legend. It's a nice tradition, but it really isn't why Hanukkah is 8 days. It goes back to around 165 BC, before the birth of Yeshua. He was already setting things up back then. During the time of the Maccabees, during Sukkot, the temple was occupied by the Romans, and the Jews were leading a rebellion. They had actually destroyed the temple. They were sacrificing pigs on the altar. It was unclean. Sukkot was celebrated. They weren't able to celebrate Sukkot until the 25th of Kislev, after they took over the temple and cleaned it up. It's also why Hanukkah is also called the season of rededication, because they had to rededicate the temple to God after cleaning it up. So Hanukkah is actually a second Sukkot. But as I said, everything points to Yeshua, and he wasn't born, as we know here at this congregation, he wasn't born on December 25th. Rabbi Mark gives a great two-part message called The Season of Lights that gives more details, and is on the website under the message archives. This is what the Lord was speaking to me during the service, as Rabbi Mark had taught through scripture and for Jewish literature. You can get a good estimation that Yeshua was conceived in Hanukkah, the festival of lights, the light of the world. And he was born in Sukkot. That's why Sukkot is 8 days. But what the Lord also showed me is Hanukkah is a second Sukkot. So that shows an even more significance of Sukkot. Not only was Yeshua conceived technically on a Sukkot, he was born on Sukkot. Only God can do things like that, make arrangements like that. It's not just you can't just take a holiday that was borrowed from a pagan holiday and rename it and say it's the birth of Yeshua. It makes more sense that God would use one of his appointed times to not only bring Yeshua into the world through the Holy Spirit, but also have him be born on the same festival. It's also the reason why Shemini Atzeret is the eighth day, the day of Yeshua's circumcision. See if I can explain what's going in my head right now. The significance of Sukkot. As I just said, he was conceived on Hanukkah, which is the second Sukkot. He was born on Sukkot. Sukkot is the festival ingathering. According to the outline, after he comes, he judges, and those who are deemed to, who are judged to live eternal life with him, then comes Sukkot, the ingathering, where the new earth, the new heaven come down. And there will be no need for light because he was going to be there with us. He was going to be there with us. He comes and he brings us together to him, and we're going to spend eternity with him. That's what Sukkot is about. Everything up until then is leading up to Sukkot. This is the end. This is eternity. This is what it's all about. And it's supposed to be a season of joy. That's what's joyous about it, because this is showing us this is what it's all about, spending eternity with our Lord. That's what Sukkot is about, and is It's tremendous. Revelation 21, verses 22 to 25, I saw no temple in the city, for Adonai, our God of heaven's armies, is its temple, as is the Lamb. The city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's Shekinah gives it light, and its lamp is in the Lamb. Yeshua, he's the center of it. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor to it. Its gates will never close. They stay open all day because the night will not exist there. This is all about Yeshua. Why it said in Zechariah, those who do not go up and worship him will not be part of eternity. I've seen this in a new light. I've seen how special Sukkot is. I hope I'm able to explain it as good as I can, how the Lord is showing it to me. This is a season of our joy. Can we all say amen and hallelujah?
Amen and hallelujah.
Is it?